In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast this morning. My name is Ken Keltner, pastor of Brookside Baptist Church, and I have in studio with me Pastor Scott Sanders. So, Pastor Scott, good to have you here.
Good to be here, Pastor Ken. Good morning, everyone.
And Pastor Mark is on assignment, we could say. one of our interns had a procedure that he needed to get done today, and so Pastor Mark is with him. And so I'm glad Pastor Scott could jump in. We are studying right now Revelation. We have made our way up to chapter 4. But before we jump into it, let me just remind you that coming up on the 29th, Wednesday night, I don't know what all you have going on Wednesday evenings, but we're doing a series from Jerry Bridges' book, Respectable Sins. And we do that outside, weather permitting. We have we kind of tailgate in the parking lot, have a cookout out there from 5:45 to 6:45. And then we have some teaching on the study, and then we have a roundtable discussion. We have activities for teenagers, for children, and so if you don't have anything you're doing on Wednesday night, come and join us.
I'd just say, Pastor Ken, those Wednesday night cookouts were instrumental in my family getting connected here and growing and meeting people and fellowship, and they're just been a blessing to us. We look forward to those every summer.
I do too, and it's always been a highlight for us. So let us know. You come, and you don't necessarily need to sign up or anything like that. Just come, and we would love to have you here. Well, as we ventured into chapter 4, we're looking at really five inspiring truths about our future in heaven. I don't know about you, Pastor Scott, but I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. We've been in our Sunday morning studies in 1 Corinthians, and we just spent several weeks on 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And not only was Jesus resurrected bodily, but Paul was wanting to emphasize to the Corinthians, you too will be raised bodily. And I love it, Pastor Scott. We're going to get an upgrade.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I can't either. But anyway, these truths about heaven from Revelation chapter 4, our first one we looked at was we will worship God because of his amazing plan. To worship means to ascribe worth. It means to use all that we are to praise God for all that he is and all that he actually does. And so we took a good long look at our worship of God. And then we left off with our worship. We worship God because of his awe-inspiring person. His awe-inspiring person, and we looked at verse 2 about his authority. He's sovereign in his authority, and he's spectacular in his appearance. And we move now into verse 4, where we see his attendants are sanctified. And let me have Pastor Scott, if you would read their beginning of verse 4 for us.
Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads.
So the question that you might have is, what takes place, and we believe the rapture of the church has already happened here. So what takes place after the church age is that now that we have some people there who we've never been able to see before in all of Scripture, and it's these 24 elders. I mean, who are they? Well, I can tell you the theologians over the years have proposed 11 different theories about the 24 elders. Now, you don't need to get your concordance out to look for these 24 elders. Presbyteros is the word because this is the very first time they've been mentioned. I do not believe they are angels because angels, you don't ever see angels sitting in Scripture. Angels seem to always be moving as ministering servants of God. So who are these people? Well, I know from chapters 2 and 3, where we were looking at the seven churches of Asia Minor, which really represent churches of all ages, that Jesus told the church of Laodicea that whoever would overcome the world would sit down with him in glory and on thrones. You remember, Jesus even told the church at Thyatira, whoever was faithful would rule with him over the nations. Jesus told the church at Smyrna that if they would remain faithful, they would receive that crown, the Stephanos, or that exalted rank of life. Jesus told the church at Sardis that whoever overcomes will be clothed in white garments. So who are they? I believe they represent you. And you might ask, well, why do I say that? Well, we're told there are 24 of them. In the Old Testament, King David took the priesthood of Israel and he divided it into 24 different divisions or orders. So there were 24 divisions of musicians in the temple. There were 24 names of the patriarchs mentioned in the line of the promised seed in Genesis from Adam to Perez. 24, then, I believe, is a very interesting number that seems to speak of completion. It seems that the 24 is a representative number of a larger group. So, and take it or leave it, it's my belief that these elders represent you, the church, those raptured prior to the tribulation, now who are praising God in the court of heaven and before the throne of God. And I say, really, what an honor. To be saved would be just enough. To serve is an incredible privilege, but to share in his sovereign rule, I mean, Pastor Scott, that's like over the top.
I know. People like to say it blows my mind. I mean, it does. To stop and think about it for any length of time is boggling.
You know, we've seen so far in our study the one right now on the throne, and we've seen the ones around the throne, and now we'll see what comes forth from the throne and who is before the throne. And so not only will we worship God because of his awe-inspiring power, we're going to worship God because he is all-powerful. Why don't you read verse 5 for us?
And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God.
God is powerfully supreme. That's what we're seeing right here with Revelation. That phrase, ek tu thronos, literally informs us from the throne that these peals of thunder and flashes of lightning and the sound of rumblings are actually proceeding from God himself. I mean, in the month of May, we've had some pretty significant thunderstorms.
Yeah, this is significant and language that makes sense. I mean, we just had our staff meeting this week, and just as it started, a big, big rumble of thunder and the lights flickered.
And every time I hear that powerful crack of thunder after that flash of lightning, it just brings me back to passages like this that, as intimidating as that thunder is, I mean, God is that powerful that when he speaks, it's like that. I mean, these, though, are the sights and sounds of judgment that we're looking at here, not necessarily grace. At this moment, these sounds resemble the sights and sounds where at Mount Sinai, God gave the law to Moses. Moses recorded that the mountain was covered by dark clouds and flashes of lightning, and the whole earth shook with thundering rumbles. Even today, you go over there and they look at the top of that mountain and it's still black.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. At the end of human history, God's throne becomes a weapon of war. I mean, friends, we cannot even imagine the terror of this sovereign throne as God's wrath is unleashed upon the earth. Do not miss the fact that the redeemed are singing. They're not terrified of his wrath, for they've been rescued by faith in Christ Jesus. So we see that the God is powerfully supreme. We also see that God is perfect spirit. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, these seven lamps here are a visible representation for us of the Holy Spirit of God. There are two representations of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. One's found in Luke 3:22. When the Holy Spirit, if you remember, descends like a dove upon our Lord Jesus at his baptism, and the other is that of fire, or like cloven tongues of fire in Acts 2, that purge those at Pentecost. And again, that was when the church age started, began there at Pentecost. Thus, the seven represented here is a reference to the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah references this sevenfold ministry of the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, reverence, and his deity. We find that in chapter 11, verse 2. So the Spirit of God is to convict, we're told in John 16, 8, to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I don't know, friends, if you, it's hard for us to even imagine the terror of this hour of testing and of the final judgment, even at the great white throne judgment that we read about that we'll come to in Revelation 20, when the omniscient Holy Spirit serves as prosecuting attorney. He knows every thought, every word, every deed of every man, woman, and young person. Many people today believe it's no big thing to stand before God. The scripture lets us know it's fearful, you know, to stand before a holy God. It's chilling to hear what Winston Churchill said when he was asked if he was ready to meet God. He said, and I quote, "I am ready to meet my Maker. Whether my Maker is prepared for the great ordeal of meeting me is another matter." Friends, there is no human arrogance before this almighty judge. In our heavenly scene here, the spirit of perfection is pictured not as inspiring tongues of fire or the soft fluttering of a dove. No, he is now a burning torch of fire, a symbol that he is ready to make war on sinful earth. And so not only will we worship God because he's all powerful, but we're going to worship God because of his amazing preeminence in verses 6 through 7. He's the focus of heaven. Read verse 6 for us there, if you would, Pastor Scott.
"Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back."
So God, in chapter 4, is the focus of heaven, God the Father. And it's crystal clear, a glorious sea of glass reflecting the brilliance of God's presence before the throne, stretching as far as John can see. And I believe it transcends his holiness and his purity. So it's crystal clear. It's angelically astonishing. And we'll pick that up in our next broadcast. So I hope you'll stay with us. We're into some heavy section here in Revelation. But don't get sidetracked. Let's keep focused that chapter 4, it's picturing God the Father and God in his might and in his power and his sovereign ability to not only save us from our sins, but God's sovereign work to judge mankind for their sins. So thank you. Have a great day, and we'll see you on the next broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.